Merry Christmas, everyone. So great to be with you all this morning. You know, I think every year at this time of season, we all think about the next year that's coming and how much more that we can just connect with our Lord Jesus to see him more. That song kind of moved in my heart, that I want to see more of Jesus in 2019. Can you all agree with that? I mean, we just can never get enough of him. And that's the beautiful thing about this time of year, as we remember all that Jesus has done. And as I said during our breakfast, really God put in my heart about family. This particular Christmas, it's just so great to be with family, great to see families come together, and to be here as a church family in each other's presence. And I just want to ask you, what are the things that you remember about Christmases in your past? What are some of those things that your family always did? Certain traditions, maybe. Certain, blessings that you just can't seem to get out of your mind. I think about this time of year, my mom, the things that she used to do for us at Christmas time. You know, I don't have as much attention to candy canes now as I did when I was a kid. You know, candy canes were a big thing for my mom. We would always have candy canes hanging on the tree. And as a kid who liked sweets, you know, by Christmas time, there were no more candy canes. But just those traditions, maybe, and maybe even some of those memories that are just so fond to us. And funny moments, certainly. So it's good at this time of year to remember the things that have happened in our past. And as I think about family, I think certainly young families in our fellowship, that you're going to create your own traditions. You're going to create your own memories. And they don't just happen. I was talking to someone during breakfast. It's like those are things you have to kind of latch on to. You have to think about, you know, different things that maybe just your family will do that's unique, that maybe years from now your kids will remember that you guys used to do those things. Because again, Christmas for me was always about family. It was time spent with family. You know, putting aside the routine, putting aside, you know, what we normally did just to be together. Work was set aside for a couple days. The normal routine of life just kind of took the back seat. And it was just a time to enjoy each other's company. And as I've gotten older and as I've moved away from my hometown and moved really away from my family, I look back on those things and I say, I long for those. I desire to be with my brother, my mother, and my father. And as most of you know, half of that family is no longer here. They're with the Lord. And so you can't go back. But you certainly can look forward and look at making new traditions in family. Again, I just want to give you a little bit here. For me, Christmas Eve was always about going to Grandma and Grandpa's house and her little 3-foot tree that used to sit on a 2-foot table that made it look like a big tree. And just having family dinner together and then all the kids, cousins, and everybody getting together and opening gifts from Grandma. Those were great times and great memories. And I just want to encourage you to make memories this year. Slow down and just spend time with your family making memories, or maybe just continuing to nurture those memories of time past. Christmas Day was always with just my family, my brother, my mom, and my dad at our house, and always just enjoyed spending that time. Dad took time off of work. Mom cooked. I mean, Mom used to get up early to do the turkey dinner, you know, and it filled the house, which really woke you up pretty much to the gifts. So there was a lot of love. There was a lot of laughter. There was a lot of good times. But one thing I don't remember, and that's Jesus at Christmas when I grew up. Jesus was never about the season. It was about the gifts. It was about the number of toys. It was about the things that we enjoyed, the meals, and the getting together. And even, and I've shared this before, but even in our living room, and which actually this kind of space reminds me of the living room. There we had a fireplace at the end of our living room. There was a couch on that wall, and above the couch was a picture of Jesus. And never once did we bring attention to that picture. Never once as a kid did I go, who's that a picture of? I mean, I don't even know if I thought, well, maybe it's an uncle, or, you know, great-grandparent. Who is this man sitting over there? And so Jesus was never brought in to Christmas. And for me, it saddens me. I wish I could show you a picture. You probably all know the picture. It's a very famous picture of the picture of Jesus. But it's just sad that Jesus was not there. Prayer was not a priority in my home that I remember. And again, I don't have a great memory, but the Bible was never read. And so Jesus was missing. And though we had great times, though we had great memories, I think back now and I think there was so much missing. And yes, I want you to have a good time with your families. I want you to enjoy opening gifts. But please do me this one favor. Make sure Jesus is central. Make sure you bring Christ back into Christmas, because that's what Christmas is. It's about Jesus. It's the Christmas story that we read in our Bibles of how the birth of Christ came and how wonderful that was, that beautiful picture. And so it's a reminder for us this time of year, this Sunday, this Christmas, is a reminder. Jesus is the reason for the season. Jesus needs to be central. I don't know if you have a Bible or not, but I'm going to read from Luke's Gospel, starting in chapter 2. Does anybody need a Bible? Well, want a Bible? We can hand one out to you. It's Luke chapter 2. Starting in verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, every one to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them. I always love that part of the story where they were praising God. They were thankful to the things that God had done. These shepherds knew what was happening. These shepherds knew what the angel was saying to them. They knew that there was Messiah that had finally come. They were anticipating his return. And the interesting thing about this story, just a couple things that I want to remind us, is that he came for all people. You know, it says in verse 8, the shepherds, they were living out in their fields. The shepherds were the humble. They were hardworking people. They were just humble men who were not allowed to even go into the temple. And it's believed that these shepherds were temple shepherds that were just raising up the sacrifices that would be given in the temple. So they knew their job. They knew what they were doing. They were making sacrifices to God to cover their sins. So when they had heard that Messiah had come, there certainly had to be this great joy in their hearts. And the thing that God would even come to them with this message tells us all that the message is for all people. Not just Americans, not just Israel, not just those that are called into the evangelical church. All people need to receive this message. And it's a reminder to all of us that this message needs to go to everyone that we come in contact with. That the message is for all people. The next thing is that the message that came was that it was born to you this day. This child was born to you. It came for you. It was personal. the city of David, Christ the Lord, they knew that it would be great joy because this was the greatest message man ever received from heaven. And we cannot just, in our tradition, in our, you know, in our walk with the Lord, just not realize that that is an amazing message that we're to share with each other. And sometimes we got to remind ourselves. Got to remind ourselves that this is such an amazing message. Notice the sign that was in verse 12. The sign to you, a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. Now, it's all a pretty picture, isn't it? And even the nativity scenes we see, just that nice little hay, you know, bassinet that we put Jesus in. Do you know what a manger is? It's a feed trough for animals. This isn't a pretty picture. Messiah came in the humblest of ways. And it's a reminder to us that he came to the lowly so he would be received by all. He didn't come as a king in that position of authority, in that position of you know, dictatorship. He came humbly, became a king, and died for us, and died for our sins. Yes, he was swaddled. That's the angel told the shepherds he'll be swaddled in a manger. And the sacrificial lambs, they used to swaddle them because a lamb had to be perfect, without blemish, without any little discrepancy. They had to be perfect in order to be sacrificed in the temple. So it's a picture that Jesus himself had to be perfect, and he was. So they swaddled him, and baby Jesus was swaddled because he would be that last Passover lamb that would come to make the final sacrifice. Again, it's the Christmas story, and I came across this Christmas story that I want to share with you. And interestingly, it was 4 days before Christmas this particular Sunday, or particular Christmas, and the phone rang for this woman. The only other couple in our adoption group who hadn't yet been placed with a baby besides us was calling to say they finally had a child. I hung up, feeling like I'd been shot in the chest. No baby for us. We'd been waiting for almost 5 years, and I longed to be a mother. I rolled up my spiritual sleeves and began to beg God for a baby by Christmas. I set up a Christmas tree and decorated the branches with pink and blue ribbons and christened it the Baby Hope Tree. Every day I knelt there, pouring out my prayers to God. Then the phone rang, and I heard the hard truth that there was not going to be a baby by Christmas. Our first child didn't come until Easter, at last. Our second child came 2 years later in the blistering July summer. When I look back on that day in December, I realize now that my daughter was safely growing in her birth mother's womb on Christmas Day. God was indeed answering my prayer. Listen to this. He was working while I was waiting. And I find that waiting is the hardest thing for us as humans. Not even just as Christians. The waiting. But the thing about the waiting is we're confident that God is working. And I love that this mother realized that. That God put it upon her heart that, listen, I answered your prayer. It wasn't in the time that you wanted it. But I was at work already answering that prayer. And I wonder how many of us in this room are waiting for God to do something. And we're waiting patiently. And we should wait patiently. And we just have to believe that God is at work. So trust God's timing. Trust the fact that sometimes the waiting is a good thing because it reveals God to us in a greater way. The last thing I want us to see here is the response to Christ's coming. In verses 18 through 20, it says in verse 18, "And those who heard it marveled at those things." The things that the shepherds had shared, they were amazed that the angel had come to them and told them there would be a baby in a manger, just as it happened. And that's the thing about God. God always fulfills his purpose. God always does what he says he will do. And we must hold on to his promises until they are fulfilled, until they come to pass. I've always struggled with verse 19 where it says, Mary pondered these things in her heart. And I never thought about it until this year. But, you know, the angel Gabriel came to Mary and told her that she would be with child, didn't he? And for 9 months, the Messiah grew inside Mary. And for 9 months, I wonder what was on her heart. I wonder what was on her mind. You know, we sing that song, Mary, Did You Know? And there's lyrics in there that remind us that, you know, was she, for 9 months, wondering, would I be a good enough mom? Wondering, how do I love on my Savior? How do I love on a baby that is the one that's going to take away all the sin in the world? Those things that she must have pondered, I believe, was also Mary's way of waiting on what God was doing. And here in this verse, it was recorded that she just pondered these things in her heart. Guys, I'm sure all of us ponder some things in our hearts. All the times, wondering what's going on, seeing God answer our prayers, seeing God work in mighty ways, seeing God stretch us when he doesn't answer our prayers when we want. I think it's a good place to be, especially at Christmas time, to just sit and ponder the things that God has done. And then the last thing is glorifying and praising God. Isn't this the proper response to the answered prayers that God gives to us, or even just the goodness of who God is? To glorify him and to praise him? Because it's not about us, is it? It's all about him. It's all about Jesus. See, I believe I took my childhood for granted. Even though it wasn't Jesus there, I took family time for granted. I missed the importance of just being with my loved ones because I was away from them for so many years. And I love the fact that I see families here that are getting together. And some of you are just, it's just you and your family, just you, your spouse, and your kids. Man, don't think that's lacking in any way. Some of those times, it's the richest times ever to spend there and to see your kids. And I would encourage you, again, to start traditions this year, to keep the TV off. As hard as it is, turn the telephones off, the cell phones off. Put away the computers. Throughout the day, forget about the gifts and just spend time with each other. See, some of the fondest memories I have at my grandparents' house in those Christmas Eves was just playing cards with my aunts and uncles. And hearing the laughter and hearing the joy, and French onion dip is the bomb. And to this day, when I eat French onion dip, it takes me back to those days. Yes, there were family arguments. Yes, one of those uncles always got too drunk. Yes, there were those. But isn't it great that we don't dwell on those memories, or we shouldn't? We should dwell on the things that there was fun, there was family time, there was traditions. And we just need to make sure that we make those traditions and maybe even just have a game night with family, you know? Sometimes I think we think going out to a movie is spending time with each other. Well, if sitting 2 hours in the dark, not talking to each other, watching a TV is spending time together, we're in trouble, right? We don't get to know each other. So spend those times. Christmas needs to be about what? Jesus. Has to be. About Jesus and about family, because the very first Christmas was about a small family, Joseph, Mary, and Jesus. So it's about family. It's about Jesus. It started out with a small family, and this year I encourage you to make memories with your family. Teach them to love Christmas because of Jesus. Because of Jesus, because it is his holiday. Because he came as a baby, born into a family, and that family loved him and cared for him and raised him. This Christmas, may Jesus be more than just a picture on the wall that we ignore, but truly be that Savior in our hearts. Write your own Christmas story. Be a blessing to other people. You know, my wife and I have the ability to bless people in our lives. And we don't do it for any other reason than that's what God has given us the gift to do. It's not to bring attention to us. I mean, some of you in this room have said, man, you guys are just such a blessing to us. It's like, listen, we're a blessing to you because that's what God's called us to do. We're a blessing to you because God has blessed us. And if Christmas is anything, it's about other people and being able to bless other people. See, Christmas is not about what am I going to get? What is the gift I'm going to get? I mean, I like gifts. I got my wish list. But that's not what it's about. It's about being able to give to others. Pass on the blessings that you've been given. And my last story I want to read is literally exactly 15 years ago today. It was December 23rd, 1993. For a single mom who was going to college and supporting her children completely alone, Christmas was looking bleak. She looked around at her little home, realization dawning like a slow, twisted pain that they were poor. Her tiny house had two bedrooms, both off the living room. They were so small that her baby daughter's crib barely fit into one room, and her son's twin bed and dresser were squeezed into the other. There was no way they could share a room, so she made her bed every night on the living room floor. The three of them shared the only closet in the house. They were snug, always only a few feet away from each other day and night. With no doors on the children's rooms, she could see and hear them at all times. It made them feel secure, and it made her feel close to them, a blessing she wouldn't have had in other circumstances. It was early evening, about 8 o'clock. The snow was falling softly and silently. Her children were both asleep. She was wrapped in a blanket, sitting at the window, watching the powdery flakes flutter into the dimming light, when her front door vibrated with a pounding fist. Alarmed, she wondered who would stop by unannounced on such a snowy, wintry night, as she opened the door to find a group of strangers grinning from ear to ear, their arms laden with boxes and bags. Confused, but finding their joyous spirit contagious, she grinned right back at them. And they asked, "Are you Susan?" The man stepped forward and he held out a box for me. Nodding stupidly, unable to find my words, I was sure they thought I was mentally deficient. "These are for you," they said. The woman thrust another box at me and with a huge, bearing smile. The porch light and the snow falling behind her cast a glow over her dark, lending her an angelic appearance. I looked down at her box. It was filled to the top with delicious treats and fat turkey and all the makings of a traditional Christmas dinner. Her eyes filled with tears as the realization of why they were there washed over her. Finally, she came to her senses. She found her voice and invited them in. Following the husband were two children. Staggering with the weight of their packages, the family introduced themselves and told me their packages were all gifts from her little family. This wonderful, beautiful family, who were totally strangers to her, somehow knew exactly what they needed. They brought wrapped gifts for each of them, a full buffet for her to make the Christmas dinner, and many extras that she could not afford. Visions of a beautiful, normal Christmas literally danced in her head. Somehow, her secret wish for Christmas was materialized right in front of her. The desperate prayers of a single mom had been heard, and she knew right then that God had sent his angels her way. Her mysterious angels then handed me a white envelope, gave me another round of grins, and took turns hugging her. They wished her a Merry Christmas and disappeared into the night as suddenly as they had appeared. Amazed and deeply touched, she looked around at the boxes and gifts strewn at her feet and felt the ache of depression suddenly being transformed into childlike joy. She began to cry. She cried hard, sobbing tears of deepest gratitude. A great sense of peace filled her heart. The knowledge of God's love reaching her tiny corner of the world enveloped her like a warm quilt. Her heart was full. She felt her knees amid all the boxes and offered a heartfelt prayer of thanks. She fell to her knees. Getting back to her feet, she wrapped herself back in the blanket and sat once again looking out the window at the falling snow. Suddenly, she remembered the envelope. Like a child, she ripped it open and gasped at what she saw. A shower of bills fluttered to the floor. Gathering them up, she began to count them. As her vision blurred with tears, she counted the money, then recounted it to make sure she had it right. Sobbing again, she said aloud, "Thank you, Lord." She looked at her children, sleeping soundly, and thought her tears, and through her tears, smiled for the very first time about a worry-free smile, her first worry-free smile in a long time. Her smile turned into a grin as she thought about tomorrow, Christmas Eve. One visit from complete strangers had magically turned a painful day into a special one that they would always remember with happiness. It is now several years later that our Christmas angels visited. She is remarried, and the household is happy and richly blessed. Every year since that Christmas in 1993, they have chosen a family less blessed than they were. They bring them carefully selected gifts, food, and treats, and as much money as they can spare. It is our way of passing on what was given to them. We hope that the cycle continues and that someday the families we share with will be able to pass it on too. The thing I like about the story is maybe we all have heard those stories before. I know that there's been stories that I've heard from my wife's experience when she was a child with her mom. Her mom, who had basically nothing, some of you ladies know this story, who basically had nothing, was always able to go and bless other people that even had less. And those are stories that we remember. Those are stories that we're fond of because that's what Christmas is about. Not worrying about what we're going to receive, but really worrying about what we can give. Every single one of us in this room has an opportunity to create a Christmas story and to be giving to someone else. So my prayer for all of us is that we would be sensitive to what the Lord would do, sensitive to the Holy Spirit, that we would listen to his voice and be able to bless others. And to be those people, if you have a need in your life, to be praying that God would meet it and to watch him do it because he's faithful. So this Christmas, we want you to make sure that you're creating your own stories, that when your kids get older, that they'll look back and remember the fond times that they've had growing up with their family. We're going to close in a prayer, and then you have candles in your hands. We're going to sing Happy Birthday to Jesus because that's the reason why we're here. And then after that, we'll close in with a song. Please pray with me. Father God, I thank you so much. I thank you for this morning, God. I thank you for the opportunity to just share a meal together and be like family, to love on each other and to just be able to fellowship this morning, Lord, over that meal. And I pray, Lord, that as we've remembered the Christmas story, that we would never forget that it's about Jesus, that it's about the Savior that came. The good tidings of great joy has come to this earth. Lord, we live in a fallen world. There is a lot of hurt and heartache. But Lord, if we don't focus on the negatives, we will see the positives that are happening in our world. And I pray that each and every one of us here this morning would do our part to infect change and to infect the blessings on other people because of the blessings that you've given to us. So as we sing these songs, as we sing Happy Birthday, may it truly be a cry of our hearts of how thankful we are that Jesus, you came for us even before we acknowledged you. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Bless our Christmas, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.